Grisanov was in the embassy. Hanoi was a strange city, a mixture of French imperial architecture, little yellow people, and bomb craters. "So," his general asked, "it goes well, but I must have more people. This is too much for one man to do alone." "That is not possible. You have notes on what you have learned?" Grisanov's face darkened. "Back at the camp, our fraternal socialist comrades are studying them." "Comrade General, do you know how important this data is?" The general nodded thoughtfully. "In another 2 months," Grisanov went on, "I will be able to think as the Americans think. It is vitally important, Comrade General. But I need more people. It is too much for one man." The general sighed. "I've tried. They offer you their best." "Their best what? Best barbarians. I need Russians." Grisanov paused. "You know what I really need."
"What?"
"Hope, Comrade General. I need hope."
"Explain."
"Some of these men know their situation. All suspect it. Comrade General, these men have years of useful information. We can't let them die. They will serve us, but I must have something to offer to them."
"Bring them back? They're enemies, Colonel. Save your sympathy for your own countrymen," he growled.
Grisanov stood his ground. "If they die, would that serve our country?" The men looked at one another. They both knew that what they had was a potential intelligence coup that would stagger the KGB and GRU. There was only one possible reaction. General Lieutenant Yuri Rosakovsky pulled a bottle of vodka from his desk. It was the best and most expensive. He poured two small glasses.
"I can't get you more men, but yes, I will try to get you some hope."
"Where am I?"
Doris Brown asked in a barely understandable voice.
"Well, you're in my house," Sandy answered.
She sat in the guest bedroom where Doris lay.
"How did I get here?" "A friend brought you here. I'm a nurse. The doctor is downstairs fixing breakfast." "How are you feeling?"
"Terrible. My head."
"How long?"
"Almost a week.
You gave us quite a scare."
She gave Doris some water.
"Thank you,"
Doris said in a very small voice.
"Where's Billy and Rick?"
"I don't know who they are," Sandy replied.
It was technically correct, she thought.
"Are they the ones who hurt you?"
"I have to go. Please."
She started to move, but her body betrayed her. Sandy helped her settle back.
"You're looking much better today," Doris Sarah said as she entered the room.
"I feel awful."
"That's okay, Doris. You have to feel awful before you can start to feel better."
"So hungry."
Another good sign, Sandy noted as Sarah began to feed her. Sandy took a brush and started working on her patient's hair. She was a little surprised by Doris's shudder a minute or so later.
"Pam,"
Doris whispered.
"What's that?"
Sarah asked.
"Hair. When she was dead, brushed her hair."
Dear God, Sarah thought. Sam had related that one part of the post-mortem report to her. Dr. Rosen touched her patient's face gently.
"Doris, who killed Pam?"
"Rick and Billy and Bert and Henry killed her. Watching."
The girl started sobbing.
"They made you watch?"
"Yes."
"Let's not think about that now."
Sarah shuddered.
"It's tired."
"Okay, let's let you sleep now." Doris faded off as they tucked her in.
"Breakfast is on," Sarah told the nurse as they went downstairs.
"They killed her friend and made her watch. The things they did to her. To them, she was just a thing."
"Billy and Rick," Sandy said.
"I don't think they'll be hurting anybody anymore," Sarah said.
The two women shared a look, their thoughts identical. though both were distantly shocked at the very idea of holding them.
Good.